Let me just remind you then of our theme on a Sunday. And it's the theme that we have for a Sunday morning and for a Sunday evening. And that theme is the grace of God. I'm not sure how many Sundays now we've spent in exploring this theme together. I think it's been quite a few. And I just want to recap what we've been saying over the past few Sundays. So the grace of God is one of the great themes of the Bible. And the grace of God is described as multicolored. So just like Joseph's coat given to him by his dad, the grace of God is grace that is many-colored. And do you remember we've said that there are three primary colors to the grace of God? There is common grace, which is God's goodness to every human being. Whether men and women believe in God or not, God is good to everyone. That's common grace. Then there's saving grace. This is God reaching out to individual men and women and drawing them to Christ and saving them from their sins. So the saving grace of God is that grace that rescues men and women from sin, from judgment, from condemnation, and from hell. That's the saving grace of God. Then there's the persevering grace. That's the grace given to the Christian, so that the Christian continues in faith through all the trials and the challenges of life. And it's the persevering grace of God that we are thinking about on a Sunday. Now, one last reminder then. Do you remember that we said grace isn't some sort of cloud that floats above the head of a Christian? Grace is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is the one who is full of grace, and he is the one who is full of truth. So when you think about the grace of God, you are thinking about a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So if you want to understand the grace of God, you need to understand Jesus Christ. And the more we know about him, the more we know about the grace of God. So what I want to do this morning, I want to take what Jesus said about himself in order to understand the grace of God. So in John, Jesus tells us, the Gospel of John now, Jesus tells us a lot about himself. He describes himself in different ways. And this morning we read that Jesus described himself as the Good Shepherd. The word good also means beautiful or perfect or ultimate. So Jesus is the ultimate shepherd. And if we think this morning about Jesus as shepherd, then we will understand more about the grace of God. So it's no surprise then that I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Now, most of you here will know this psalm inside out. And I wonder whether some of you are even thinking, oh no, not this psalm again. Well, let's turn to it and let's see if we can find something new here this morning. So Psalm 23 then, and I'll begin by reading the whole psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we are going to look at this psalm to learn about the shepherd. And Jesus Christ is the good shepherd of his people. And we can see in Psalm 23, first of all, the craft of the shepherd. So verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. We see the business of the shepherd there, the craft that the shepherd employs. Then, if we look at verse 3, he restores my soul. In that verse, you have the concern of the shepherd. And we're going to major on that this morning. The idea that the shepherd restores the soul of his sheep. And then the third thing that we'll see is the care of the shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And then again, verse 2, green pastures and still waters. So it's the craft and the concern and the care of the shepherd. Let's ask God to speak to us through his word. Let's pray. Lord our God, we do thank you then for the grace that you have, this common grace that is your goodness to every human being, the sun that shines, the food that we eat, the families that we are part of, the homes in which we live, the societies to which we belong. Lord, your goodness to everyone. And then we've thought of saving grace, how in love you reach out to individual men and women and you bring them to Christ that they may believe and be saved. And Lord our God, we thank you for the persevering grace that you give to your people, the church, that enables us to continue. Lord, we ask that as we take up this very, very familiar psalm, that Lord, you would speak to us and that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, I went to a Christian conference in Edinburgh. And it's a conference that's held every other year. And it's quite, an intellectual kind of conference. And the conference ended with a sermon based on this psalm, Psalm 23. And the speaker, he's a well-known preacher in this country, focused his sermon on the first verse. And his focus was on one word in that first verse. And it's the word my. And the burden of his sermon was the idea of the bond between the shepherd and each individual sheep. There is a unique bond that cannot be broken between Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and you, if you are a Christian. And the preacher's sermon that day was emphasizing the idea that pastors and other Christians, we don't need to worry about a Christian. Whether that Christian is your husband or your wife, whether that Christian is a member of the congregation, don't worry about them. Because if someone genuinely is a Christian, then there's a bond there that cannot be broken between that Christian and Christ. And Christ will never abandon them. And Christ will deal with this Christian so that whatever she does and wherever he goes, Christ will hold on to them and never give up on them and lead them. The responsibility is Christ's. So since then, that idea I found very comforting, because there are Christians that we worry about. It may be strange to say, but some of you I worry about as Christians. And you may worry about me. And we worry about some of the Christians who are not here this morning. We worry about the sort of decisions that Christians can make. But here's the comfort that we've got. If you're worried about a Christian, Christ holds on to them. And Christ will not give up on them. Now, this is part of the craft of the shepherd. What I want you to see is in this psalm, we have the idea, first of all, then, of the bond between the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal bond. It's an unbreakable bond. And it's the responsibility of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is responsible for each one of us. That's the first thing. Then as you look down the verses, come to the very last verse of Psalm 23, verse 6. The second thing to show you is the shepherd leads each sheep. And can you see that in the psalm, there is both a destination and there's a direction. So the destination is the house of the Lord, verse 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the good shepherd is leading you to the house of the Lord. He is leading you to heaven itself. Now, the house of the Lord refers to the temple in Jerusalem, and that temple is a picture of the glories of heaven. So the shepherd is responsible for leading you to the glories of heaven itself. That's the destination that he has for you. And then in verse 3, do you see there is the direction. Now, which way will the shepherd take to bring you to your destination? And the direction is in verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's always been a bit of a puzzle to me, what that verse means. We are all familiar with it. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The idea is direction. So Christ the shepherd is leading you to the glories of heaven. And the path, the direction, is this idea of the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So let me say two things there. Do you remember a few weeks ago in prayer meeting, Andrew Scully came to share with us his slides of a trip to Israel. And Andrew showed one slide of a path or a road that many believe Jesus walked on one occasion. Now this verse 3, has the idea that Christ has already walked this route to the glories of heaven. It's a path that he is already taken. So as the good shepherd leads you and I to the glories of heaven, he is taking a direction he has already traveled. So whichever path you're on, whichever point of the path you have reached in your journey to heaven, Christ has already travelled it. So not only does he know the way, he has walked that way. And so as you and I walk this path to the glories of heaven, we are not experiencing anything that is unique to us. Whatever we know and whatever's in our path, he himself has already experienced it. So that's the idea there of for his own name's sake. And then this word righteousness, it's a word that sums up what's been achieved for us in salvation. So as you journey to the glories of heaven, you are already righteous. As God looks at you and as God deals with you, you are a righteous individual in the sight of God. Your sin is covered and you stand perfect in the sight of God through Christ, who has loved you and given himself for you. So the craft of the shepherd then, there's a unique bond. He is leading us to our shelter, our sheepfold, which is the glories of heaven. And the direction he takes is the paths of righteousness, a journey that he is familiar with. He has made it himself. And as we travel, so it is that we are righteous men and women. Can I just add one note that is a little bit dark? If we look at verse 4, verse 4 has this idea of the valley of the shadow of death. And what that simply means, and we are not going to dwell on it, but what it means is if our destination, the final place, is heaven, the last but one stop is the valley of the shadow of death. The only way into the glories of heaven is the valley of the shadow of death, verse 4. But even there, you do not need to fear, because even that path the shepherd himself has taken. Christ walked the valley of the shadow of death himself. He was arrested. He was put on trial. He was sentenced to death. He walked to the cross. So he himself knows that part of the journey. And we have to travel it ourselves. But you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So can you see then what this psalm is telling us about the craft of the shepherd? The unique bond, the destination, the direction that he leads us in, and this final turn in the road, which is the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, let's look then secondly, shall we, at the concern of the shepherd. Verse 3. And in verse 3, you've got the phrase there, he restores my soul. The concern of Christ the shepherd is with your soul, your spiritual well-being. And I think it was in Bible study this week, possibly, or on Monday in the prayer meeting, that we spoke about how the message of the church has changed. And the message these days very much is about our physical well-being. Here in verse 3, we have the idea that it's our spiritual well-being that is the concern of the shepherd. And if you were to ask why is that, just take a look at verse 5. In verse 5 we have, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. To every one of us, every sheep, there is the reality of enemies. Now, did you notice when we read from John 10, Jesus identifies two enemies to the sheep. The first is the false shepherd. And then the second enemy is the wolf. And as Jesus teaches this truth that he is the good shepherd, he warns about the two enemies that the sheep faces. One of them is a very obvious enemy, and it's the enemy of the wolf. So if you can remember what we said in John 10, Jesus spoke about how the wolf will attack the sheep, and the sheep will be scattered, the flock is broken, as the sheep runs for his life. Now, that's the first enemy that you and I face. It's the enemy of the wolf. And we'll be saying a little bit more about that in the Sundays to come. And then there's a more subtle enemy that we face. And that's the false shepherd. And you remember Jesus spent a long time in John 10 describing the false shepherd. He's been hired for the day. He doesn't come in through the door. He speaks in a strange voice that the sheep don't recognize. The sheep are reluctant to follow this false shepherd, but the false shepherd continues. Now, I want to suggest that that enemy, more subtle, is an enemy that you and I still face. There are false shepherds with false voices that are being raised today, and these false voices are being heard. I reckon you've heard some of the false voices of these shepherds as they seek to lead the sheep, not in the paths of righteousness and not towards this final destination, but they seek to lead the sheep in wrong directions. So there are two enemies. And this psalm, Psalm 23, picks up the idea of the enemies that we face. Now, as I've said, we're going to think more about these enemies in the weeks to come. But I wonder whether you feel aware or not of the dangers that you face because you belong to Christ. There are obvious dangers. There are subtle dangers. And what this psalm tells us is that because of the dangers we face, there will be times when our spiritual life is at a low ebb. When, from a spiritual point of view, we are weary, worn, sad, discouraged, overwhelmed, wandering. We are a sheep that needs to be restored. And the shepherd's business, the shepherd's concern, is found here in verse 3. He restores my soul. What the shepherd is concerned with then is restoring the soul of the sheep that has been exposed to and overwhelmed by the activity of the enemy. So what I'd like you to do just for a moment is reflect on your condition from a spiritual point of view. Would you say that you are a sheep that's a bit overwhelmed, perhaps lost, perhaps someone in need of restoration? That's the idea here then in verse 3. The shepherd will know when the soul needs to be restored. Now, bear in mind the unique bond between each sheep and the shepherd. And we really need, I think I need, to draw confidence from that bond. So not to be worried or anxious about another Christian, because we have a shepherd who knows the condition of his sheep, and he knows when it is that he needs to restore such a one. Did you notice we sang from Psalm 103 this morning? Praise my soul, the King of heaven, and it's ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Now, the idea is fundamental to the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, that he restores us. He, if you like, revives us when we need that because of the presence of my enemies. So just take a look then at the psalm as you've got it open before you. And where is it, do you think, that you have the idea of how the shepherd restores the sheep? Can you see it there? I'm sure you can. The psalm doesn't unfold in a very straightforward way, does it? The ideas are rather jumbled together in Psalm 23. So how does the shepherd restore the sheep? What's his concern? Well, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. There's the first way in which the shepherd restores the soul or the spiritual well-being of his people. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The idea there, and it's a very familiar picture, and I'm sure all of us know how this society, David's society, was very much a rural, agrarian, farming society. The idea here is of feeding. And feeding in security and in safety. And the shepherd restores our soul by feeding his people. And that's why it's so important, I guess, that we are here this morning, while we come together whenever we can, because it's the activity of the shepherd feeding and reviving the spiritual life of his people. So verse 2 then, it's got the idea of pastoring. It's the notion of the shepherd tending his flocks, providing them with a safe place, providing them with time, offering them security, but in order that they may be fed, that they may drink, that they may recover from the demands of being led in the paths of righteousness. So here's the first idea then of how the soul of the Christian is restored. It's an objective truth. It's through the word of God, through the ministry of the truth of God, the soul of the Christian is restored. And I'm sure you don't need me to emphasize that anymore. Hopefully in your own experience, you've been aware of it. When you arrive at church or you come together, and you may be feeling weary or burdened, and then the shepherd ministers to you. He speaks to you. You hear his voice through the ministry of the word of God. And as you hear his voice, so it is that you are fed, and so it is that you are restored. Now that, I think, is quite clear. The last way in which there's this idea of restoring is found in verse 5. Now, I'm not going to tell you everything about this psalm. You probably know the psalm better than I do. But if you look at verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I just wanted to say two things about verse 5. And we've said that there are enemies that the Christian faces. Do you remember what they are? There's the false shepherd and there's the wolf. Now, what Christ does is, even in the presence of your enemies, Christ will continue to feed you. So even though you may be under direct attack from the wolf, and as I said, we'll say more about that, or even though you may be exposed to the false shepherd with his false teaching, Christ will continue to sustain, to uphold, to minister, to feed his people, even then when they're in the greatest danger and they're most vulnerable as sheep. And that's the bond between the shepherd and you. So when things are hardest and toughest, and I would even say when things are most dangerous for you, and you may be making the biggest mistakes, the shepherd continues to hold on to you, and he continues to sustain you, and he will even continue to feed you. Now, the last thing, this reference to oil in verse 5. I want to be careful here, and I may say things that I don't know whether you would agree with necessarily. And I want to be careful to say things that don't discourage any of us. But the reference to oil is a reference, as it always is in the Old Testament, to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you think of Aaron and his sons anointed with oil, and the oil flowed down their heads and into their beards, if you think of the kings anointed with oil, oil is a symbol of the presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit. And so let's be very careful then, shall we? The shepherd will restore the soul of his sheep through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, whom we cannot see and we cannot touch, he will be the way in which the shepherd helps restore the souls of the sheep. Through the word, through the ministry, the Holy Spirit's presence, making the ministry alive and real, and making the ministry of the word of God available to you, causing it to reach you, to influence you, to have an effect on you. That's the idea here of oil. And that's our prayer on a Sunday. It's often in the newsletter, isn't it, that as the preaching of the word is done, so may God bless that to us. So may the Holy Spirit of God use that word to reach us, to affect us, to encourage us, to have an influence on us, even in our conscience, that word of God is made alive in our hearts. That's how the shepherd restores our souls. He ministers, he feeds his people, and he gives the reality and the presence of the Holy Spirit to each one. So, what have we said? As we journey then to our destination, verse 6, the house of the Lord, we are led on the paths of righteousness. That's the direction that we take. And there are times on that path when our soul will be overwhelmed, when we become weary, when as sheep we lose heart, we may be worn. Those times, the shepherd will restore our soul. He restores our soul through the ministry of the word, accompanied by the Holy Spirit. He feeds us, he encourages us, he enlivens us again, so that we can continue on these paths of righteousness. And there is that bond which cannot ever, and I want to end with that thought, I think, that this shepherd, this good shepherd, if he's your shepherd, we can be confident. Let's not worry. We can be confident that he will lead us, me individually. He'll continue this work of shepherding me, and he'll continue to do the same for you. Well, let's pray, shall we?